Thank you for joining me today on CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, and I trust that you and your family experienced God's love and favor in a very special way as 2020 came to a close. In spite of COVID-19 and all those physical distancing measures. You know, this year, 2021, is an important, a very special year for CMDA, as we will be celebrating our 90th anniversary since a small group of medical students gathered together in Chicago, Illinois, in 1931 on the campus of Northwestern University School of Medicine with the hope of not only having community, but through that community, bringing glory to God in their medical careers. Well, our guest today on CMDA Matters is Dr. Finney Kuruvilla. Just like those first medical students in 1931, he joined the CMDA chapter at Harvard Medical School as a student because he too wanted his medical career to count for his Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you will find his testimony and his current work as the Chief Investment Officer for Eventide Investments in Boston an amazing demonstration of how God can put Christians in healthcare on many different stages for influence to accomplish his purposes in their lives. We're going to be talking about biblically responsible investments in 2021 and beyond, and so I thought I would invite our CMDA Vice President for Stewardship, Mr. George Courtney, to join us today as we talk with Dr. Kuruvilla, who joined us from his office in Boston, Massachusetts. Well, it is indeed an unusual opportunity for me to talk to a chief investment officer from Eventide Asset Management Company, who just happens to be a Harvard medical graduate. Dr. Finney Kuruvilla is actually the chief investment officer for Eventide. He holds an MD degree from Harvard Medical School, a PhD in chemistry and chemical biology from Harvard, a master's degree in electrical engineering and computer science from MIT, and throw in a bachelor's degree from Caltech in chemistry. So welcome to the program today, Dr. Kuruvilla, after that impressive set of credentials.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be with you. And you didn't mention something, which is that I was very active in CMDA. It used to be called CMDS when I was in medical school. And so it's great to be with you.
Well, thank you for throwing in that very important credential for our listeners who care deeply about that. And before we launch into some questions in this conversation, our board of trustees has gotten very interested in the concept of how to invest our funds that God has entrusted to us in a biblically responsible, values-based way. So could you, first of all, tell our listeners how in the world a Harvard MD grad ends up a chief investment officer? And then second, could you launch into what does it mean to invest in a biblically responsible manner?
Sure. Yeah. So I was an MD PhD student when I was in medical school. And as many of you know, when you're an MD PhD student, you receive a small stipend when you are going through your years of medical school. This was in the mid-90s. It was 1995. And I was getting a stipend of about $10,000 a year, which seemed like a lot at the time. And it was more than enough to keep me sustained as a single person at the time. And what I decided to do was to look into investing options with some of my excess there so that I could eventually put a deposit down on a house. It seemed like a many-year remote dream, but I was encouraged to do that. My mom in particular was successful at that. And when I looked at investing options, I looked at the top 10 holdings. So anytime you look at a mutual fund, you can easily look at on their fact sheet what their top 10 holdings are. And I saw these holdings, and they were a number of companies that were, I thought, quite antithetical to the Christian faith. So companies, for example, involved in tobacco, gambling, pornography, abortion. And I didn't want to profit and to receive income streams from those sorts of companies. And so my roommate at the time, he was doing his PhD at Harvard in economics. And he said, well, why don't you learn how to invest on your own? And so he gave me a book by someone named Peter Lynch. I still have that book. Peter Lynch was a very successful fund manager at Fidelity here in Boston. What Peter Lynch basically maintains is that if you know a particular domain well, that would be a competitive advantage over Wall Street that tends to be a lot of financiers and generalists who don't really have much in the way of domain-specific knowledge. And so Peter Lynch's recommendation was to capitalize on your fund of knowledge and to use that in the realm of investing. And I thought, well, hey, I can do that with biotech, with healthcare. I was working in a lab at the time during the summers between medical school as part of my PhD. And so I knew pretty well some of the various research tools and products that were used and felt like I had a small amount of insight there. And so I ended up just getting into it personally and was very fascinated by this intersection of investing with the life sciences. I kept doing that more as a hobby, just with my own money, just a small amount of money. And then later on, I went on to do a residency and a fellowship here in Boston. And I started to notice how many of the medical advances that we've had are the result of advances that came from biotech and healthcare companies. And just utterly fascinated by that, fascinated by clinical trials and the whole process of going from an idea to something that was ultimately being used to treat patients. And so for that reason, I decided to enter into the investing world, largely through venture capital, but ended up starting along the way Eventide, which is a firm that would do 100% what we call values-based investing or biblically responsible investing, where we would screen out some of these more objectionable investments and create portfolios for those who are faith-based and who want portfolios that are really extensions of their values. They're not antithetical to their values, but they're harmonized and aligned there. And to transition into your second question there about what it means to invest in a manner that is biblically responsible, I think it really means two things, potentially three, but at the core, two things. And those two are avoiding areas of ethical entanglement. There's a lot of scripture to support this concept.
Sure.
That we should be not doing and not participating in income streams that are antithetical to scripture. So, for example, in Deuteronomy, it talks about how God doesn't want the earnings of prostitutes to come into his temple. And he even says that it's an abomination before him. And so even back in the Old Testament, God did not want profit sources and revenue sources that came from unbiblical means that would come into his house. There's other examples of, say, the Pharisees, who, even though they betrayed Jesus, if you remember in that story, they did not want to take back the 30 pieces of silver that Judas betrayed Jesus over because they said it was blood money. And I think that's very interesting that they had the level of conscience to recognize they didn't want that money from, in this case, betraying an innocent person. And we, in general, in the modern world, I think have forgotten this attachment of where our money is coming from and the sources that are behind it to the money itself. And so that first piece is very important to avoid the different kinds of income streams that would be in disagreement with our faith. But then on the positive side, we want to embrace good companies. So Christianity isn't just about avoiding sin. It's about positively doing things that are serving the global common good, that are promoting human flourishing. And so we should look for companies that are well aligned with God's attribute of provision and service. Business ultimately is something that when it's done well, it should be done for the service of others. And there's so many great companies out there that are companies that we can feel proud about being attached to, that are helping out society in many different ways. And so at the core, I think it's those two elements, avoiding problematic areas and then embracing positively companies that are doing right by the world.
Today, I brought in my bullpen. I invited today to the program Mr. George Courtney, who is our vice president for stewardship, because he lives this every day, thinking about our listeners, our members, our champions being really wise stewards of the resources that God has given them. So welcome to CMDA Matters, George.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be with you all.
And I'm just wondering, what's burning on your heart and mind? Because you spend a lot of time with our members, and you know what they're thinking about. What should we hit up Dr. Finney today in terms of representing our listeners?
I'm so blessed whenever I have the privilege to engage with those who make the ministry of CMDA possible. They're the supporters of this wonderful ministry. And as I work with families and thinking about this whole concept of biblically-based, value-orientated investing, I know many of them, this is going to be a new concept to them. Today's program is probably going to be, for some of them, the introduction to this whole idea, this whole world. And so the question I think I would like to ask, Finney, is where does a member get started? Where does an individual, a Christ follower who wants to honor Christ in their investing, where do they get started in all this?
It starts with praying about the concept of what does it mean for an individual who's a healthcare professional to participate in financial markets and investing. And I touched on this before, but I think there's really a first decision before we get into the practicals of, does a person want their investments to reflect their values? Do they want to make that decision? And if they do, then that's really, frankly, more than half of the battle is just coming to a place and a space in one's mind and heart that one has decided to go there. So making that decision is first. And then we want to be celebrating of this notion of living a holistic and an integrated life. You know, it's one of the things that I believe in today's world that there's so much fracturing, not just interpersonally, but intrapersonally, that we can live in one way on a Sunday and in a different way and on a Monday or a Tuesday. And one of the great joys of walking with God is to be able to have that holistic sense of a clean conscience. And I would really encourage people just to ask themselves, you know, do I want this? Do I want this for myself? And I will say that having now lived this journey for 25 years, it's a really great feeling to know that you are pleasing God with your portfolio and your investments as well. That, you know, that we're on the one hand pro-life and then not embracing, for example, revenues and profits from abortifacient. So that's the first step, is that mind and heart decision. And then the second step is it's a little bit like when someone decides to eat healthy, they start reading labels, right? You go and you don't just grab a box off of the shelf, but you start to look at, hey, is there sugar added? Is there trans fats? You know, what exactly is in this? So the second step is an awareness of, what do I have right now? And we live in a world where I think the financial system does not encourage transparency. And it almost wants there to be some obfuscation there so that people just treat their investments more as a commodity and something that is not something worthy of diligence. And that's because there's a whole lot of reasons for it, but it's because in general, the forces that are out there treat investing as something different than what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be about supplying capital to businesses, right? That's the purpose of investing. And instead, what people have fallen into is this trap of just trying to profit from the market, quote unquote. And this abstract entity of the market, and not really thinking about the productive and intrinsic value of the underlying companies and the things that you are engaged with. When you realize that investing is ownership, that's a significant mental step, right? So all of us, if we were small business owners and say we owned a retail store or something like that, we would want there to be a certain level of quality and ethics associated with that store. Well, it's the same thing with a publicly traded company. You may own a small percentage of that company, but nonetheless, you are an owner of that company. And thus, I think we should ask the question, do I want to be proud about my investments? And if so, then let me start to look at them and let me open up the hood and look at what's inside or read the label. That does take a little bit of digging because, as I said, the world is not necessarily architected in that way. But it's something that we really believe is valuable to do. And it's something that is the second step. The third step and the final step in this is to say, okay, well, now that I've made this decision, now that I know what's actually in my portfolio today, how do I align my portfolio with my values? There's a lot of different ways of going about that. You can do it yourself. You can use a financial advisor. There's a lot of resources out there today. But in general, I would say that that final step, birth out of that conviction and that awareness, is the place that we come to a point of action and really practically meeting those goals that we've made for ourselves in the first step there.
Is this a pretty recent phenomenon? Because I can say that 5 or 10 years ago, I never heard of biblically responsible investing.
Yeah, you're exactly right that it's making a resurgence. But one thing that we should claim and be proud of is that the Christian community historically has been at the forefront of this, going back into the 1700s. So when you go back and look, John Wesley, who's a fairly well-known preacher who was the founder of the Methodists, he was widely regarded as one of the early advocates of what we now call biblically responsible investing or faith-based investing. And there were a number of very powerful voices, he, William Wilberforce, and others, that wanted the Christian community to move their dollars in keeping with their convictions about slavery, which was the big issue of the time. And we had Quakers, we had a number of different Christian groups and churches get behind this. It was generally quite successful at awakening the conscience there. You know, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so when you move your treasure, your heart starts to awaken. And then moving into the 1970s, there was another resurgence of this, largely from a group of Episcopal shareholders who decided to move their dollars in ways that would be engaging with companies, particularly that were involved in apartheid in South Africa. And it's a beautiful story. I wish we had time to go through this, but I'll just say in one line here that the Christian community succeeded, most historians would tell you, at doing what embargoes and what the UN could not, i.e., they got Ford and Goodyear to change their policies around how they handled whites and blacks on their floors there. And that was widely regarded as what catalyzed the fall of apartheid. And so we've had these pretty stunning examples of success over the centuries. And then just now in the last 10 to 15 years in particular, there have been a handful of companies that have emerged and are trying to do what I mentioned before, avoid those areas that are problematic, but then positively to engage in issues of our day, a whole host of issues there. And now we have a really great repertoire and growing number of companies that are involved in this overall field of biblically responsible investing. So I'm delighted that we are not the only ones. We are one of many companies and organizations that are trying to promote this. And if there was ever a time that if we in the Christian community could unite and put our shoulder together behind this effort, we could have a massive impact on America, much greater than would happen through politics, simply because we have the ability to coordinate and to use our dollars to change the ways that companies behave. And so I'm very excited about this. I think we can tackle all kinds of issues ranging from drug pricing to pornographic materials that are distributed to abortion and abortifacients. I mean, there's all kinds of issues that if we could rally together, we would be able to make a very powerful impact, much like the Christian community did around the issue of apartheid as well as slavery in the 1800s.
I'm sure, Finney, out in our listeners today, there is a group that are listening and they have this perception that because faith-driven investment vehicles are filtering out some of the larger companies or profitable companies, that it reduces revenue possibilities as well as increases an individual investor's risk. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, that's a common fear that we hear a lot. And I tend to take a different perspective on it. So the way that we think about this here is that if business is supposed to be about demonstrating God's attribute of service and provision to the world, and not about primarily about being greedy and just trying to make a business bigger for the sake of making it bigger, then businesses that operate in that way, in the right way, are operating along the grain of the universe, along the grain of how God wants businesses to function. There's quite a bit of academic data that has been published that shows that companies that are primarily service-oriented, in fact, outperform their peers that are more profits-centered. Really interesting there. And so I actually think, in distinction to that perception, that if you are using true biblical criteria there, as I said, avoiding companies that are involved in sinful areas, but then positively embracing companies that are demonstrating integrity and service, then you are, in fact, more likely to outperform based on the fact that you are running along the general direction that businesses are supposed to. And there's a lot of data for this that we won't have time to get into here. But I think on the whole, it should make sense to us. It should make sense to us that as we look around at the world and process the world, I mean, are the businesses that prosper in the long haul ones that take care of their people, take care of their employees, take care of their customers, or do they tend to be ones that are more greedy and self-interested? And I think we all intuitively know that those businesses that operate in the former matter over the long haul tend to perform better. And so obviously there's no guarantees, and you know, there's a lot of ups and downs and volatility there. But this general belief that we as Christians share about the fact that there is a virtue law that is embedded into the universe, we can utilize this for our advantage when we look at investments. And I believe it's a way that we can outperform in the long haul.
What would you say to our listeners that are some steps they can take with their current financial planners or advisors, you know, regarding their current portfolios to help them walk them through with their advisors on how to move in a direction and to invest in a manner that's more consistent with their biblical values that we've been talking about?
It really follows that same 1-2-3 step that I mentioned before. So first, before you even sit down with the advisor, to have made a decision in your mind and heart that, like, this is a direction I want to go down. This is something that I feel committed to do. The second step is sitting down with advisors and saying to them, like, I want to know what's in my portfolio and I want to understand better, what do I own? Can you show me? And what's interesting is that a lot of financial advisors, they themselves don't know. There's so many levels of wrapping and packaging that happens there that a lot of advisors are themselves in the dark. And so you may well be surprised at how much your financial advisor isn't as attuned as he or she should be to these issues. And then out of that, to have a conversation with him or her and say, well, what kinds of options do I have that can push me more in this direction? Depending on your financial advisor, there will be either a blank stare that you get back or, oh, I've heard about this or that. And then it will be a great process there of mutual discovery. Now, the good news, as I mentioned, is that there's now more than ever lots of different great fund companies and organizations there that you can diversify across in order to meet those goals. And hopefully working with your advisor, you'll be able to come to a place of really being excited about what you own. And I will say that one test that I use here is, if I looked at your portfolio, or if you looked at your portfolio, how would you feel if you said my son or daughter worked at one or more of these companies? And I would hope that we would be proud of that. It's a very simple test, a very high level test, but it's the kind of good judgment that I think we want to have with our portfolios there. And so I would really encourage people to have this conversation. And frankly, there is I think it's safe to call it a movement that has happened amongst the Christian financial advisory community to offer more and more of these products and to be aware. And frankly, they're some of the best conversations that you and your financial advisor can have, because they concern heart issues and your values, not just alpha and beta and numbers and some of the more mechanical aspects of investing.
Many of our listeners, or at least some of them, are probably nearing retirement or they're already retired. Would you say that it ever gets too late to consider converting to a values-based or biblically responsible investment strategy?
Not at all. And in fact, I would say that just like when we, if you were to talk to someone and you were to ask the question, you know, is it ever too late to do the right thing? You know, it's not. And I know that's kind of strong language to say that I think doing this is the right way to go, but I truly believe that it is. And it's never too late to do the right thing. It's always a good time. Even as we are in those years, even as some of your listeners may be in their retirement years, well, I think that's actually probably even more of a time when we're aware of how important some of these big picture choices that we make are, as we think about what really matters and how short our lives really are on this earth, and how important it is to use the few number of years that we have for the kingdom and for advancing the cause of Christ in as thorough as a manner as we can. And so I feel like those who are already retired are some of our best people and some of the ones that we've really appreciated with the degree of conviction to which they've they've made these kinds of choices.
I'm guessing you didn't imagine when, I think it was your roommate you said, who encouraged you in ways to get started with your little nest egg that you had early on to get a house, that you would end up in such a position on a maybe a national stage. I heard your challenge at the Kingdom Advisors Conference online. I watched a YouTube video. Very powerful challenge. And you quoted the scripture, Solomon's challenge in Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. Could you just kind of repeat that challenge for our listeners?
Is when we signed up to be physicians or nurses or some type of role in the healthcare professional world, I mean, we signed up to promote the cause of life and of health. And the exact opposite of that is abortion. And it's an issue that I know many of your listeners would be very passionate about as well. What is so sad is that we can have strong internal feelings here and yet miss the practical opportunities to express our heart in ways that are actually going to change the world and to save those who are perishing. It is a simple step that you can take, is to get your investment portfolio aligned with that. And one of the things that we do at Eventide is when we engage with our companies, we even speak about, okay, are you donating to organizations like Planned Parenthood and others? And we will do our very best to dissuade them from that. And we and others have had, frankly, good success at that. And so to think about this as a way to even move dollars away from causes that are harming life and robbing life in favor of those that are promoting life, it brings such joy to my heart to think about what we can do there. And so, yeah, this is a huge mandate that we have. We need to be a city on a hill in this age that we live in today, and we need to be living in harmony with our values and doing our very best to rescue those who are perishing in a variety of approaches. This is by no means the only approach, but I think it's one that is in some ways one of the most powerful, because companies listen. I mean, they listen. I can tell you, we've had hundreds of conversations over the years directly with CEOs and CFOs. And when they look at us and they recognize that we're a top shareholder, and we say, we don't want you to be involved in something like abortifacients, or we don't want you involved in, they listen. They really listen. And time after time, one of the things that surprises me is they say, no one's ever brought these concerns to us. And I think, wow, here we are in 2020. And they're hearing a lot of these things for the first time. And so huge opportunities out there that we have. And I'm very, very excited for the collective capacity that we have together as the sleeping giant, as it's been called, of the church, in order to bring light to an age that desperately needs it.
How can our listeners find advisors and find out more information to help them be successful at following through on this mandate?
You know, I think starting with your own financial advisor is definitely the first step that I would recommend. There are organizations out there. There's one called Kingdom Advisors that is a network of Christian financial advisors that are much better trained than most at this. And if your own financial advisor isn't aware or wants to know more, that's a great place to go to. Our website has a lot of materials that you could find there that would be helpful. I would say those would probably be the two places that I would go to. Our website, Eventide Funds, and as well as the Kingdom Advisor, which, as I said, is a very diverse coalition of Christian advisors from a wide variety of backgrounds. And so I would really applaud and recommend that people make these kinds of steps, and very grateful for the opportunity to share our heart here.
The scripture, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Big challenge. I've got a lot, I personally have a lot to think about after this conversation. God bless you, Finney, and all that you do.
God bless you both, too. Thanks again.
Well, you know, my own financial advisor, his name is Luke Brown up in Michigan, is the one who actually made me aware of Kingdom Advisors and Dr. Kuruvilla, and made the connection so that we could invite him onto CMDA Matters today. I was so amazed at the story of how the fall of apartheid in South Africa began when church leaders confronted big business in their practices of hiring and taking care of their employees. Well, that's not a narrative that I was aware of at all in terms of apartheid and its fall. As Finney mentioned,
You can find out more about how you can begin your journey in biblically responsible investments by talking to your own financial advisor, especially if they are part of that Kingdom Advisors network that Finney talked about. Or just check out what Finney is doing at eventidefunds.com. Well, we know that many followers of Christ look to the new year as a time to reorder our priorities and recommit to spiritual disciplines that we have neglected during the busy holiday season. CMDA, we are offering two exciting opportunities for spiritual renewal in the coming weeks with our virtual Michigan Winter Retreat and our West Coast Winter Conference. Jesus calls us to a transformed life of discipleship under His kingly care, and His Spirit has used so many times over the centuries the Sermon on the Mount as a key biblical passage in shaping His followers. CMDA Michigan will be hosting their 30th annual retreat, and this time it is online because of COVID-19, with Dr. John Patrick speaking from the Sermon on the Mount to shape and grow attendees as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in healthcare. You're invited to attend 24 hours of engaging prayer, study, and communion with Michigan students and doctors who are Christ's disciples in healthcare. Registration cost, it won't break the bank now after Christmas, as the CMDA student cost is only $10, and for residents and grad members in practice, only $20. You won't want to miss this. Sign up today. If you're interested in taking a trip for an in-person conference, be sure to check out the 2021 CMDA West Coast Winter Conference at the Cannon Beach Christian Conference Center. This conference offers CMDA members and their guests the opportunity to hear outstanding, inspirational, and educational speakers while enjoying the scenic, even iconic, and inimitable Pacific Ocean on the Oregon coastline. There will be a combination of informal didactic sessions, group discussions, Q&A, and plenty of free time for Saturday afternoon family activities to create a refreshing investment for professional and personal renewal. You can find out more about these two conferences and register for these events at cmda.org/events. Well, in this new year, 2021, I want to thank you for making CMDA Matters part of your regular listen and learn routine. I hope that after hearing Dr. Kuruvilla today, that you will be inspired to pursue an investment strategy that matches the values that you hold to firmly with a commitment to God's Word as your standard. And I pray that God will reward you for your good stewardship. We want to honor God at CMDA by being excellent stewards for the funds God has entrusted to us through the generosity of all of you, our members and champions, changing hearts in healthcare. We sincerely hope that biblically responsible investing will matter to you in 2021, just as it matters to us at CMDA and CMDA Matters. Next week, I will be joined by Dr. Scott Keller of Grace Medical Clinic in Clarkston, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. It's a refugee settlement that has been called the most diverse square mile in America. We'll catch you then, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.